Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Please be advised that Gen X, This Is Why, contains adult language.
Hi, and welcome to Gen X, This Is Why, the podcast where we re-examine the sometimes bizarre and often scarring media from our shared childhood. My name is Amy. I'm a proud Gen Xer born in 1977.
And I'm her sister Jenny, born in 1974.
What's up, Jen?
Not too much. What's going on?
Not too much. I hope you guys enjoy the bonus content that we gave you, which was us talking about our Emmy picks. And I love how we go into things and we didn't see half the nominations.
I know. Like, we can obviously not be. I mean, my Emmy picks were based on what I saw or what I heard.
Yes. Yeah.
About things I didn't see.
Hey, there's people who based whole presidencies on what they've heard. So, you know, who knows? All right, Jenny, today we're here to talk about the 2023 documentary Wham!
Wham. Oh, shit.
Wham.
Was I supposed to have a... I don't know this new format. You got to do all the stuff.
It's just... No, there's no description.
Oh, okay.
It's just Wham. It's a documentary on Netflix.
So you keep things loosey-goosey over here.
Yeah, it's like, Wham! There it is.
It was a good name for a band at the time that was a band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's my, let's do a like upfront big picture discussion. What did you think of this documentary?
I really liked it. I love George Michael, so that's helpful.
I do too.
Yeah. I don't know how you feel about Wham, but like, I feel like we were pretty young when Wham was out.
We were pretty young.
So mm-hmm. like, I liked Wham. It was one of those, like, you know, I was like 6 or 8 listening to it. Mm-hmm. But I really loved George Michael's stuff later. I was more into him as a solo artist later.
Remember Father Figure?
Oh, that whole album was like,
I Want Your Sex.
God, huge.
Wow.
Huge.
Wow. Here's how I felt about the documentary. It was fun. It was light.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I kept waiting for it to take a turn.
Well, but that's because it was about Wham.
Yes, exactly.
All the dark, crazy shit with George Michael happened after Wham.
Yeah, like, I feel like, okay, what's the story? The story is, like, they were two good guys.
I feel like the friends. Story is Andrew still alive?
Yeah.
I feel like the story was, like, Andrew was awesome and, like, he was important, too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because, honestly, like, again, because I was so young and I'd be interested to hear from older Gen Xers. Like, Andrew, he wasn't even a thing for me. Like, I didn't even remember his name. Like, it was always like Wham was George yeah. Michael to me. But I think that's because I was so into George Michael later. And I knew he came from this band Wham that I knew one or two songs from when I was a kid. Do you know what I mean? So it was like.
Yeah. Fair. Fair.
Like, was Andrew a huge deal? It seems like he was.
He was a partier.
Well, we know that. But that doesn't, you know, those two things aren't necessarily equal.
I don't know. I just remember I was really into George Michael.
Yeah.
And I.
He was stunning. Right.
Like, I didn't even
he
know.
He was stunning.
He was stunning.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the footage of him.
Stunning.
He's gorgeous.
No. Yeah.
It's those Greek jeans. I mean, he's just amazing. Look at John Stamos. Come on.
Okay. Jesus. Here we go.
Here we go.
Everything gets bad. You have like 6 degrees of separation of John Stamos.
I challenge anyone regardless of sexuality, to look at John Stamos's Instagram and tell me he is not attractive.
I agree. He's an attractive guy. But you,
I want to meet that person.
You have him up on like pedestals with George Michael? Like, no. No, sorry.
Jenny, you don't think John Stamos is on top of the pyramid?
No.
Of Greek hotness?
No, I... Is Aristotle in the pyramid of Greek hotness?
Zeus is in the pyramid.
Zeus is a god. Yeah, of course.
Okay, so let's get into this. So I don't have a ton of notes.
No, I have like periodic notes. Yeah.
Yeah, I just have, okay, we open on George and Andrew. They're high schoolers. They meet when they're 12 years old. They're in London, correct?
Yes. So they were. Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Okay, here's a question for you. They're boomers, right? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Not super firmly, because they were 12 in 1975, which would make them born in 1963.
So they're on the edge. They're at the edge. Yeah, they're at the edge. Mm-hmm. They're like a Kamala Harris situation.
They're like a cusp born Gen Xer. So George came to Andrew's school and as a new student, and he was shy. How about the picture of him when he was a little kid?
Oh my god, hilarious!
Oh my god, he's got like this thick curly hair and these big glasses. And he was shy and he was kind of nerdy. And Andrew was like a leader and he was popular and he took George under his wing. Now, George Michael's real name is Yurios Panayiotou.
Yeah.
And Andrew called him Yog.
Yeah.
That was his like loving nickname for him. They decide they have a lot in common. So they form this band called The Executive.
And they started with ska, which is hilarious.
They did. With Scott, and I love the audio of them like screaming and just playing their hearts out.
Well, and one thing that I took away from this is like when they were showing where they grew up, I think it was a town outside of London. They like suburban London.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you think about like I was thinking back to when, like to where Paul McCartney's childhood places, and if anyone has
how
not seen
bring
it,
bring him into this.
We talked about this all the time. Carpool Karaoke with Paul McCartney.
Oh,
if you have not watched this show or this episode, it is amazing.
It was Liverpool, by the way.
It was Liverpool. So they go, they're in Liverpool, and they go to Paul McCartney's house where he like
James
they,
Gordon brings them
where they wrote, and now it's a museum. And the pianos there were like they wrote their songs and recorded them because these four track recorders had become accessible. They became affordable. Mm-hmm. When I say accessible, I mean affordable, right? Like they've become like anyone could get them now. And that was a huge shift in music.
Let me just give some context to the Paul McCartney.
Oh, here we go. Did I trigger you?
No. You didn't trigger me, but I want to respond.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's hear the John Lennon response to me saying Paul McCartney.
No. All I'm going to say is that Carpool Karaoke came out right after 2016, which was a very difficult time for women in this country. And when he sang Let It Be and talked about his mother, you and I were sobbing.
I was sobbing the whole time.
You cried.
The best was when they went to that little bar.
Yes.
So they go to this little bar in Liverpool. And if you don't want to spoil the episode, then shut this off for 10 seconds.
No, this is like 10 years old. It's not spoiled.
So they go to this bar in Liverpool and it's like this Beatles, you know, like it's obviously everything in Liverpool is probably like Beatles themed and like, oh, John Lennon drank here and Paul McCartney. And, you know, there's these people in the middle of the day at the bar, not judging. I've been there.
Not judging.
Yeah, but like they're probably regulars, right? Like it's a small crowd. And
it wasn't like noon. It was like 3 or 4 o'clock.
Five, whatever. It's
early evening.
Okay. Early evening. But it's a small crowd. It's probably like the locals or whatever.
Yeah.
And the bartender, I think, asked somebody to like put something in the jukebox. And of course, the jukebox is all Beatles songs.
Mm-hmm.
So they go over and they put a quarter in the jukebox. And I guess this area had like a stage where they have bands, like small stage, but it was covered by a curtain. Mm-hmm. The guy puts the thing in the jukebox, picks, I don't know what song it was. I forget what it was. But that must somehow, they must know what it is. And like a few minutes later, the curtains open and Paul McCartney's playing the song live. in the bar.
And everybody died.
Lost their goddamn minds. Like, it was crazy. And then, like, you just see them on their phones. And then, like, then they start to show, like, crowds are coming, like, across streets. It was so crazy. Could it you imagine being in that bar?
I mean, I'd be like, Paul McCartney.
Yeah, fuck him. Would you throw something at him?
No, are you kidding me? I would be dying to see a Beatle. Because I would be like, you touched John Lennon. Right. Yes, you proximity. Burned him and betrayed him, but you also touched him.
Proximity to John Lennon, fine.
Right, yes. So they break up this executive band. And Andrew and George are like, we just loved writing so much and playing together so much. So they just kept it going.
Yeah.
And they're out at a club and Andrew starts rapping. Now, this wham rap.
This I remember it. I remember it.
Oh, it's bad.
There was a lot of that kind of stuff at that time, though. Like, bad rap. There was good rap, but there was also bad rap.
Yes. So it's like, wham, bam, I am the man. Yeah.
Don't know any more words.
Let me see if I can find it.
Hold on. Oh, are we going to have to pay for this?
Come and sue me, wham.
Come sue me, Andrew.
Andrew, come sue me. I don't know if that's even going to be, like, in their list of songs.
Oh, of course it is.
You think?
It was big. It was big, and then, like, it became, like, a nostalgic favorite later. That's not it.
That's not it.
That's If You Do It Right.
I'm cutting all of this. What's it called? Wham Rap, right?
I think the name might be different now.
Here it is. I got it.
That's intro congos. That was the 80s.
Oh, here it is. Okay.
Don't forget, also, you have to remember this was like 1981. So, like, the stuff in the very early 80s had like a disco-y 70s, like, funk kind of influence.
Yes. And it was coming,
like, if this came out like 86.
Disco.
Yeah. And if this came out like 86, 87, it would not have been as popular. Yeah.
Well, so this is the song, and Andrew was rapping it at the club. He was out at the club rapping.
Okay.
And he's going, wham, bam, I am the man. And George Michael's like, that's the name
song.
Of the group.
Got it. Wham. Wham's the name of the group. Here's the song. Okay.
They co-wrote most of their early songs.
It shows.
Mm-hmm. And Andrew came up with the chord progression for Careless Whisper. I forgot how much I loved Careless Whisper.
Such a good song.
Oh!
But he just came up with that basic chord progression. But I just have to read my note here. Some of the early stuff was not great.
It wasn't Club Tropicana? Young Guns?
Oof.
I mean, you know how I feel about Young Guns too.
All right, anyway.
And there you have your 6 degrees of separation with JBJ. All right, so Andrew comes up with the chord progression for Careless Whisper, and the original version is pretty bad. Pretty bad.
I mean, it's the lyrics are great.
I smell the lacquer on the floor.
Well, some of the, I mean, but like, you're seeing it start to come together.
Yes, you are.
I suspect the bad lyrics that were interjected probably came from Andrew. Don't forget, he's writing at this time.
He's writing. So Andrew knows a dude. So he and George Michael are like, this is it. We're going to create a demo of Careless Whisper.
I love this.
This is how you know they're boomers.
This is how you know they're boomers.
Yep, this is our ticket. We're done. This is a number one hit. We're going to go knock on the doors of
with
every
our demo
record
tape.
Company.
We're going to walk in and demand a record contract.
Appointment. So they do this, and everybody shuts them out. They're like, no. Dude,
and they're shocked and devastated. Like, this is how you know they're boomers, because it's like, there's like boomer dudes, because they're like, here's our thing that's wonderful. Like, why are they rejecting us on our only try?
So Andrew Jen knows a dude who was in the record business.
Of course he does.
And he slips him the demo, and the dude loves it, and he signs them, and Andrew's mom starts a scrapbook.
Oh, God.
Now, the scrapbook's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
Yeah. So I just have some of the songs are real bad. Wham Rap, Club Tropicana, Young Guns. Then George Michael's getting real upset because his song is not number one.
Yeah, he's a psycho about this.
In the top 40.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Young Guns gets to 42.
42 and it hangs there. So this is the kind of meat that is in this documentary. You ready? They get on Top of the Pops because someone else gets sick.
First of all, Top of the Pops was a huge thing.
Huge. Huge. Yeah. They get on there because someone else was sick. And this is like their big break. So Andrew's going, George drew the short straw and he had to sleep in this thing that was like a crib. So he didn't have a good sleep. So I'm like, okay, now it's getting juicy. Is he going to fuck up on Top of the Pops?
No.
Is he drunk and passed out in the crib? Did he find him with somebody else in the crib? Like, what's going on? Nothing. No. They go on Top of the Pops. It's fine.
And that's the first, like, where I took a note, seeing him at Top of the Pops, like, stunning. I mean, he's only like 20 years old at this time.
He's stunning.
God.
And that's where my notes end until they get to China. So
they had two girls in the band at the time.
They had two girls in the band at the time. But, like, this is my point, and you're going to laugh when I say this. I'm like, this documentary is okay, but it's really just about their music.
I mean, I know you think, is it because you just assume every rock star is, like, a degenerate? Is that...
I don't know. It's just so wholesome, and they're really good to each other.
Well, I mean, part of it is, like, why would they make a documentary when, like, not a whole lot happened?
Yes.
But, like, it's because he's a star, and, like, this is his origin story of being a star.
So you think there's going to be Wham 2?
No, I mean, Wham 2 is George Michael's career, which there are documentaries already about. But this is, like... You know, if you don't know a lot about Wham, and some people don't necessarily watch shows for murders, Aim, you know? I mean,
I don't only watch.
I know shows you've been hanging around mom a lot, but there's no murder in this documentary.
No, it's just, it's really just. Okay, so it's narrated by Andrew and George, which is cool.
Yeah.
Like, it's
really about how they became stars.
Okay, we wrote this song and it did well, and then we wrote this song.
Some people want to know that information.
Yeah, I'm like, but it doesn't even go into like the songwriting process.
It does a little bit. I feel like, and I feel like it like so. Also, I want to say at the Top of the Pops performance, like it is so clear at that moment that George is the star here.
Yes.
Like,
but it wasn't always that way.
Well, see that, and that part I think was interesting because I didn't know that. Like, because
I think you're right. I think this could be a PR piece
put out by Andrew. Like, is he going to have a comeback career? Like, is that what's going on here? Because, like, George is in that performance. He's so clearly, like, how do they say it? Heads and shoulders above.
Head and shoulders
above the rest. Like, he is a star in that moment, and they're just like backup singers, maybe backup band. And I thought that Andrew was this powerhouse of like, I mean, I guess he wrote the music. Like, he wrote the music, which the early music's not, I mean, there's nothing amazing there. Mm-hmm. I love how George goes to Alabama to like get Careless Whisper worked on.
With like a huge music producer. Yeah.
So like, Wexler? I think.
And then he like throws it away. He's like, no, it's not what I want.
He threw it away. He reproduced it. But like, it's still in the vein of what Wexler did. Yeah. I feel like.
Wexler.
So like, so he wasn't even relying on Andrew to write the music for like the stuff he really wanted to do. So I feel like, I thought Andrew was this, you know, it was kind of like Billie Eilish's brother. You know, like he's the genius of the music there. Like, he writes all that stuff.
Yeah.
And that's not what happened here, I don't think.
Well, and throughout the documentary, Andrew keeps saying, like, I saw George was going in a different direction. I saw George wanted
successful.
More. I saw George, like, he, you know, he was very, the way that Andrew describes him sometimes is like, he needed this validation.
Yeah.
And George says that. Yeah, He's like, I had a huge ego.
Yep.
I needed this, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, but if anybody's surprised by George Michael having a huge ego, like,
you know. What I loved about it was how George came out to Andrew, and Andrew was like, no big deal. Like, no big
whoa.
It was a big deal.
I'm super mad about that, though. I have a lot of notes on that.
Why? Tell me.
because he came out to him and Andrew convinced him to not come out to anybody else, like not come out to his father and like to like publicly. And I feel like that was a huge fucking mistake.
Do you think that George wanted to come out to his family?
He was going to. He was going to go talk to his father. He said that.
Yeah, but I think, okay, that's, maybe I just had the wrong impression or maybe I just glanced over this.
Did you even
my
watch
impression,
this?
Yes, but my impression, my impression was that they had a discussion about it and Andrew's like, this might kill the band.
Or no, no.
Okay, set me straight.
No, Andrew said the opposite. He said, I'm not worried about the band. I'm not worried about our reputation. I'm worried about your father. I'm worried about, like, because he said this whole thing about, like, when you're 19, 20 years old, you just care what your parents think.
Saying that.
Yeah. And, like, that's what they were concerned about. He's like, I don't think your father's going to take it well. I think it's going to be really hard on your family. That's supposedly, whether that was true or not, I don't know. Because at that time, him coming out probably would have been tough on the band, too. But they said it was because he didn't think his father would take it well. He talked George out of it. I mean, George wasn't necessarily going to announce it publicly. He was going to tell his family at least. And I feel like him staying in the closet, and because like then he lost his nerve and he was afraid to disrupt the band later, like once they were becoming famous, because this was before they were famous.
Yeah, but think about how much his sex symbolism contributed to that.
I know, and
star.
It's hard to say that it wouldn't have wrecked it. It shouldn't have, but it, who's saying
in America in the 80s?
Yeah,
yeah, it would have.
And I feel like, although, like, look at Boy George,
which is disgusting and gross. Yeah. But that's unfortunately the world that. Side note, real quick, if you guys wanna, if you're younger and you don't really remember the 70s and 80s and how it was to be a gay person in this country, watch Last Call. It's a show on, I want to say it's on Max. It's about a serial killer that was stalking the queer community in New York in the 80s. And the police, like, did nothing.
Did nothing.
It.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Watch that documentary. It's really good. It's a series, and they just released the first episode.
The other really good documentary to watch about that time in the UK is It's a Sin on HBO.
Mm, yes.
Excellent. Yep. It was about the AIDS crisis and how governments did nothing about it.
Yes. So. But anyway, we digress. I want to say in a perfect world, George Michael could have been out and done really well and Wham would have been on its merits. But I don't believe that to be true of 1980s.
I don't know if that would have been true, but I feel like not coming out was super detrimental to him, his mental health.
Of course it was. But at least he was out to somebody.
Yes, true.
You know, and he did have that support.
Somebody who's close to him that he didn't have to hide from. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And I do think Andrew was super supportive.
He was.
Which I really
he was. And
liked.
And I get why Andrew, his instinct was to protect him.
His instinct was to protect him. Yeah.
And I get that. Like, I'm not faulting him for that, but it was just like, I don't know. Like, he had the courage to do it then. And, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like if there was 10 or 15 or 20 or 100 or 10,000 George Michaels willing to do that at that time.
Yeah, but.
Yeah.
You know, it just wasn't. Thank God, you know, we've made as much progress as we have.
Oh, my God. Thank God. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Jenny, then Andrew leaves George Michael a note one morning, and it says what?
I forget.
Wake me up.
Before you go. Wake me up before you go.
And he crossed out the other up.
Yeah.
So then we had.
Because I think, I just want to say.
Hold on. I need to copyright infringement here.
This was huge.
Huge.
This is what I remember. Like, this is the Wham I remember.
I just, when I hear him saying, oh my God, he has such a good voice.
But I think this was the first big hit in the U.S.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's what brought them to America.
And this is what I remember. This is the Wham I remember. Mm-hmm. All of this, like, this whole documentary happened in, like, 3 years.
Yes.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, Jenny, we forgot about this song, Freedom.
Yeah. Didn't George Michael do a freedom song on his own?
I think he did.
Right?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
That was very different.
Yes.
Yeah. So, okay, I'm done playing Wham songs and getting us canceled.
We're not getting canceled. We're getting sued.
Sued. One of the things I thought was interesting. Well, if we get sued, we're canceled. one of the things I thought was interesting is when he gets called into the Ethiopian Live Aid situation.
Yep.
And Andrew's not involved in this. So correct. It is clear that George is becoming the
so I have a couple things before we get to Live Aid.
Okay, go ahead.
So right before Live Aid or around that time, the press was all over Andrew. They were calling him Randy Andy.
Yes,
right? Randy. And in some way he talks about this. He was like a little bit of a lightning rod. Because like watching those early videos, I'm like, how the hell did George Michael keep his sexuality a secret? And how the hell would, you know what I mean? Like there's people asking questions about women and stuff, but like, I feel like the press would have been prying into his business and like trying to see him with women and stuff. But like Andy was keeping them so busy with his wild, insane behavior that they kind of like, they just focused on that. I mean, I don't remember any of that, to be honest.
I don't remember any of it either, but we were very young.
Yes.
I mean, I wasn't even 10. I was 8. Yeah.
So that wasn't on our thing, but I think what you're talking about is Band-Aid, not Live Aid.
Oh, I'm sorry. Band-Aid. Yes.
Band-Aid came first, and that's the... This did not age well. Do they know it's Christmas time?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord. Like, are we bringing Christian? They're not Christians. They might be, but likely they're not. No. Like, what the fuck? Do they know it's Christmas? I was like, this... Wow. I mean, you know, good cause. And that, I remember those things. Like, remember when they did those giant music things and there was like every famous person, like Bono's there.
Yes.
Elton John's there.
Farm Aid. Remember Willie Nelson did Farm Aid to help the farmers.
Yeah.
Like they did a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Musicians used to care.
And at this time.
They still do. I'm just kidding.
Oh, then. Okay. So then they do Live Aid.
Yes.
And Live Aid is when he sings with Elton John.
Did you spot Baby Bono?
Baby Bono was amazing. There was Sting.
Baby Bono was adorable.
Sting was there. Like, Freddie Mercury was there.
Freddie Mercury was there.
Holy
talk
shit.
About a fucking genius.
Elton John. And I mean, Elton John too. And
did
Freddie
you see
Mercury.
That movie, Bohemian Rhapsody?
I don't think so.
Oh.
I mean, did I?
I mean, he wrote
is it
that
old
song.
Or new? Is it new?
It's older.
I think I've seen it.
He wrote that song and like
I did see it. I did
like,
see it. I did see it.
Where
what's his name
song?
From iRobot plays him.
Yes.
Yes, I saw. Yes. I thought you meant a documentary. No, I saw the movie. Yeah.
Malik, what's his name?
I love him. He was so good.
Everybody was like, dude, you can't write that song. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
It makes zero sense.
People
and he's like, I'm doing
it.
And he's a fucking genius.
But when George Michael sings, he's on stage singing Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me with Elton John, who is his huge idol.
Okay, and I want to say something about Elton John. Elton John was really into George Michael.
Oh, yeah. Of course he was. Like, yeah. We see you, Elton. We see you. Because Elton had to be, like, how much older than him? A lot.
Yep.
A lot.
Because he's talking about him at some award ceremony, and he's just gushing over
Yeah, because Elton John was probably like...
At Basca, I think it was Basca.
Had to be like in his 40s at this point, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like
20.
And he's just like, you know, going on and on about...
Dude, I get it. I get it, Elton. I get it.
We feel the same way. So, yeah, he's on stage, he's singing, and then they bring out everybody, and it's, like, unbelievable.
Can I just,
Andrew is asked to be, like, a background singer.
I know. And can I just say that like Elton John singing with George Michael. Like, this is his idol. He grew up listening to this. I'm like, this is like Hieronymus Bosch coming back from the dead and saying he loves my painting.
God, Jenny.
Okay. All right. But yeah, Andrew's like, what was it? You know, he's you could see the ambition difference. Andrew's like, I was just so happy to be in a band. And George is like, why the fuck do I only have three number ones this year?
Yeah, and here's the thing. George had written Last Christmas, which is a great song.
Last Christmas. It's
no Happy Christmas by Lennon and Ono, but it is a great Christmas song, and he's all ready for it to be the fourth number one, and then they release Do They Know It's Christmas Time,
and it beats it. And it's like, dude, these are good problems to have.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But George is like, my ego was so huge. Like, you know, I couldn't. So then they go to China. And they're one of the first bands to go to China. One of the first pop bands. And then I have, he was stressed out. He says he's a huge ego. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Now they do a huge stadium tour. They have made it in America. Like, this is one of their things. And this happens after, is it Live Aid? I'm getting this wrong.
Yeah, it's after Live Aid.
Yes, Live Aid. So they do this huge stadium tour. They've made it in America. This was it. They've accomplished their goal. But George was becoming depressed. Andrew says he was a huge star, but he could not be himself.
Like, he couldn't be himself. And like he was this like huge teenage heartthrob for girls. Like, it had to feel so fucked up and weird to him.
Like, so weird. So weird.
And then every interview he's in, which I think this is super rude anyway. Mm-hmm. Every interview he's in, they're asking him,
how about the women?
How about the women? Well,
because help me, what's the word I'm looking for? It objectifies women. Like, how many women have you collected on this tour? So there's a bunch of interviews where people are asking Andrew if he's jealous of George. Are you jealous of George? So in this time too, it's important that George puts out Careless Whisper as a single of his own. And he's okay with that, and he lets him do it.
I feel like Andrew is an ideal partner for him.
Yes.
Like, he's not another egomaniac. Like, I think Andrew realized early, and like, again, I'm a stranger and I just look at the tape, listen to me. I just look at the recording of Top of the Pops and you just fucking see it. Like, it's plain as day.
Jenny, I wonder,
so I feel like it had to be plain as day to Andrew that, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like if you're with somebody and you're like, they're just amazing.
It's like when you and I started podcasting together and you just saw my star rise.
Yeah. And then I just quit. Yeah. And I'm like, I really helped Amy get to her next podcast and her solo career. And like that, I get it. Like, this isn't my thing. I'm not good at this.
Whatever.
So like, let's just let Amy ship sail. And I'm happy with that.
I wonder if Tear and Fear had this kind of dynamic.
You know, we always call them that. Like, Serge will be like, which one, Tear or Fear?
Yeah. I wonder if Tear and Fear had a similar supportive dynamic.
No, but that's a perfect example where I'm like, you want to have your solo career, you want to have 10 podcasts, you want to forget I even existed. Like, maybe they'll have a documentary about Gen X. This is why. And how I was like the beginning. Mm-hmm. I mean, I made you keep your branding in line. That's the thing I cared about.
Did.
But
you didn't
now
appreciate
I see you just
backdoor friends.
And the quality. And the quality of your content. But besides that, I was like, you're better at
thanks.
This.
Thanks. I appreciate So they're asking Andrew, like, are you jealous? And he's like, no, I'm good, dude. Like, I'm fine. I'm super chill.
And I mean, most people don't expect to be a fucking rock star in their life. So, like, if that happens to happen to you, like.
Andrew has what I like to call quiet confidence.
Yeah. And he's
very
just like.
Secure. And he's like,
He's like, I never expected to be a fucking rock star. Like, I'm good. I equate this to somebody who used to give me a hassle because I didn't get my black belt in karate. I got my third degree brown belt. And I'm like, never in my wildest dreams did I think I would have.
Is this a real problem? Okay.
No, but like, never in my wildest dreams they kept trying to make it like, why aren't you, like, I can't believe you would just give up on this. I was all sorry. And I was like, I'm like, give up on what? I'm like, not in my wildest dreams did I ever think I would have any belt in karate. So it's like, you know what I mean? Like, it's I don't care. And I feel like Andrew's kind of like that. He's like, never in my wildest dreams, like about this specific thing.
Yeah.
Did I ever think I would be a rock star? I just went on tour across the world.
Yes.
And had stadiums of women and screaming for me. Banged
my way across.
It's like, I'm good. Like, if this is all it ever is, I'm mm-hmm. totally fine with that.
Yep.
And he knows he doesn't have the talent to make it. He would have been like a one-hit wonder or two-hit wonder.
Presumably, he's probably still getting royalties.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if they had a good deal, I mean, those record executives were. That's true.
Yeah.
So they split up in 1986 and they do a farewell concert and splitting up. And Andrew has a good quote here. He says, "We all wake up in the middle of our dreams and suddenly it's not there anymore." I thought that was a good quote.
He just has a really healthy way of thinking about this. And one of the things that they say about Wham early on, and I forget where I wrote it down, is the appeal of Wham, or what they wanted Wham to be, was like the feel of it was youth railing against adulthood. So like you can't, not protesting like adulthood.
Protesting. Okay.
Yes. Like that would be more the punk music.
Yes.
This was more like, just like.
Because we're not punk.
Just like, I don't want to grow up. You know, like we're just going to party forever. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just going to party forever. I don't want to grow up. And like, you know, like George Michael, I think, said like Wham was never going to be middle-aged. You know what I mean? Like it just didn't make sense.
Yes.
Like the band didn't make sense turning into that. And like for George to be successful and to go on to be what he became, like he had to kill Wham. He had to kill Wham. And they both knew it.
Yes. And
I just think it's like such a smart, like they were smart businessmen, which is rare to see with creative people in general, to be honest.
What's interesting though, is they said like they had the healthiest friendship.
They really did.
Like we want to set these six goals for Wham.
Yeah. Yep.
We're going to achieve them.
Yeah.
Once they achieve them, they're like, we're done.
We're good. Yeah.
Yeah. Jenny, so
I have a smart, because I feel like if they stayed in Wham and they kept trying to do that same thing, like say George Michael wasn't a genius that he is, and they kept like doing that, they would have been done. They would have been done like by the mid to late 80s and you would never hear from them again.
True. I have here George Michael's 8 number one hits.
Okay.
Okay. Can you guess some? George Michael, Wham.
Is this including Wham? Okay. Freedom.
Well, I'm going to give you the first one because it's sketchy. Faith. Is Careless Whisper. So that's Wham and George Michael.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Careless Whisper, definitely. Okay, Faith. Faith.
Faith is number two. I Want Your Sex. Yes.
Isn't Freedom one of them?
Yes. Do you have these written down?
No.
Okay. Freedom, yes.
God, I don't know. I forget.
Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me.
Don't Let the Sun. That's the one he recorded with Elton John.
Too Funky. I don't know that one.
He did. He recorded something with Aretha Franklin too.
I Want Your Sex.
Mm-hmm.
Fast Love. One More Try.
One More Try was with somebody.
Nope. I Knew Father You Were Waiting For Me Faith. Was with Aretha
Franklin. Oh, I Knew You Were Waiting For Me. Father Figure was on Faith.
Mm-hmm. And then Freedom.
Amazing.
The new Freedom. The one we were talking about.
The one that's on Listen Without Prejudice. That was the album after Faith.
Yes. It looks like Monkey also spent 2 weeks at number one. Why they wouldn't put that in the original list is beyond me. Yeah, I think that's it. So those are some of his well-known stuff. Praying for Time.
The Faith album. Okay, so that song, I forgot about that song. That song he wrote about the death of his boyfriend. So he had this boyfriend who died from AIDS. And I think they only dated like 3 years or something.
Yeah.
2 or 3 years. And I think even though he was in much longer relationships later, like I think that was the love of his life type situation.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote that song. He says it in the beginning. He dedicates it to him.
I just want to see. He died. He was young.
I have an index card.
Oh. Okay, this is good. Saves me a Google search.
How did George Michael die? He died in England on December 25th, 2016, at age 53.
On Christmas?
Yep.
Don't they know it's Christmas time?
Okay, bad joke. Bad fucking joke. I feel like I always thought he died tragically. I mean, it's all tragic, but like,
I always thought he killed himself, but he didn't.
Yes, because it was Christmas and he was young.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And okay. So a little bit about his, some of the stuff that happened to him after Wham. And okay. This is the juicy stuff you're listening
good.
For.
Okay.
He struggled with substance abuse for many years. He was heavily addicted to marijuana, but also was arrested in the aughts multiple times for Class C drug offenses. That's like Xanax, Valium, sleeping pills, like that sort of stuff. Cannabis and like most of the street drugs are Class B.
Okay.
In 2011, he canceled a performance in London due to a viral infection and was admitted to the hospital with chest pains less than a month later, less than 2 hours before a performance. They had his condition then worsened and the rest of the tour was canceled. He had a tracheotomy that saved his life in December of 2011 after falling into a coma. So he was having like real bad health thing. Yeah, he almost died. In 2013, he sustained a head injury when he fell from a moving car. Supposedly, his manager was saying that it was just superficial injuries, but like, I don't know. That feels...
Wow.
In 2015, in June, he checked into rehab in Switzerland. So he's still having pretty bad drug problems at that time. He was found dead in his home in Goring on the Thames by his partner, Fadi Fazwa, at that time. He was 53. The cause of death was, dilated cardiomyopathy, myocarditis, and fatty liver.
The heart
liver.
Doesn't pump enough blood to the veins through the veins.
So his heart failed, probably from heavy drug. Because he's only 53. He's buried next to his mother and sister in London. The article I was reading said his sister died
after him.
Exactly 3 years later. So does that mean she died on Christmas?
How'd she die?
I don't know.
You don't know.
I ran out of time. You were pressuring me to join the... So he has his sister Melanie who died on Christmas Day. That's weird. 3 years later.
But we don't know how she died.
She struggled to come to terms with her brother's death, which occurred exactly 3 years earlier. After falling into a diabetic coma. I had it right. That's so weird.
That's really sad.
God. The mother was already dead, thank God. Could you imagine living through that?
The poor father.
Was the father already dead? I think the father was dead already.
Yeah, that's sad. That freaks me out because that's like a whole family gone.
Yeah, I know people that happen to.
Jenny, at the end of every episode, we look back on a theme or a lesson, something we take from the rewatch. We call it our why. It's designed to finish the sentence, Gen X, this is why. What is your why for this episode?
This is why I think you should watch all the documentaries about the people you grew up listening to, because I think there's just really interesting stories, and like it doesn't have to be a murder or a tragic ending. Although we after I say that, like, yeah, we dove into his tragic ending, right into it.
And we were excited.
No, but like, you know, I was like, when I first heard of this documentary, like one of my friends posted on Facebook, oh, this is really good. And I'm like, I don't know. But like, I don't know. Like, I feel like the bands I know the least about are, like, I always find something interesting about them. And I don't know. I just think it's super interesting.
My why is this is why you really need to choose your business partners carefully.
Yes. Good one.
Because I've seen many crash and burn.
Well, and you chose badly the first time around.
I did not. Shut up. but you choose somebody who, like, Andrew was just so supportive and amazing that he could see George. And I'm sure George was a good partner to him. But like, the fact that he saw that the writing was on the wall with this gracefully stepped back.
But I think that's more
is unheard of in the business. But I think
that's
business.
More of him as a friend versus a business partner.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think they had a really healthy friendship, which allowed them to make good business decisions.
Yeah.
Because like I bought a house from a really good friend of mine, and I have another friend who's like, I would never go into any kind of like legal contract or business with friends. Mm-hmm. It's like, what kind of friend are you then? Like, I feel like if you're really good friends, it's actually safer to be in those kind of, like, I'd rather be in a contract with a friend that I trust than some stranger. Yeah. Like, but they had a really good, healthy friendship. And I think they really cared about each other.
Me too. Me too. All right, Jenny. If you're listening on Gen X, this is why. this is the end of this episode. Nothing upcoming until we decide there's something upcoming.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're getting a little better. We're putting some stuff out now.
Yeah. We'll be coming at you soon. Just stay subscribed. Keep giving us reviews if you want. We still have our Patreon available. There's nothing new on it.
There's nothing new happening there.
But it's available. So if you want to sign up, listen to all that back content, and then unsubscribe, yeah. Go ahead. You know, take your month.
Pay $5.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you soon.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.